Kidney stones are not fun.
I've never had one, so I can't comment, but I've heard it's some of the worst pain you can have.
Yeah, same.
My mom has like a predisposition to getting them, and she's compared it to childbirth, and I don't know if mine was anything like that, but all I know is that your organs feel pain in a way that, like, when I, with my back hurt, like, it could knock me out. With kidney stone, it is like, oh, this is pain that keeps you awake.
Lucid pain.
It will focus you on the pain.
Yeah, I hate that.
I was running around just slick like a dolphin with sweat, just dry heaving, just in just horrible.
God bless, Rich. Man.
So drink less soda is my message.
I'm sorry to like, this is really just something that I think is really funny and I like, but that this is the motivation for Kugel to do what he's supposed to do in his story in the beginning.
He has
a monster attached to his liver, which scratches his liver if he doesn't listen. And so he's like,
oh, God.
While I was running around, like,
it's a good reason. You
know? And I heard a voice that was like, the pain will stop if you just do this.
Dude, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think I probably would have done it.
That's a pretty good compulsion.
Yeah. Like, people talk about, like, oh, I wouldn't fall to the corruption of the ring. I'd fall to the corruption of the Kugel parasite.
Definitely. If the ring was a kidney stone?
Yeah, oh.
Ugh. If Frodo had to fend off the pain of a kidney stone,
the Nazgul would know exactly where I was, because I just have the ring on, like, I can't do it. I can't do
it. I don't know if it's, like, TMI, but you didn't have to, like, pass anything, right?
So, if you have a kidney stone, the alternative to passing it would be surgical intervention.
Ah.
I don't know if I have passed it. They put me on this medicine, which is quite aptly named. It's called Flomax.
Flomax! Astroglide.
Oh, medical man, friendly. The Flomax.
It dilates all the little tubes in your body, so you pee with more vigor, I suppose.
Vigorously pee.
Oh, you're your professional pisser, Ark?
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you, it's quite effective. Unfortunately, it's not the laser-targeted system that I may have been led to believe, because it causes every tube in your body to expand. And unfortunately, your sinuses are tubes just like that, made of the same kind of muscle. And so I sound very stuffed up right now, because my face is all swollen, so that I can pee stronger. These God are bless. All connected.
Well, open up all those holes.
I'm sorry you have to go through that.
Yeah, we'll be all right.
His nose is stuffy. Yeah, it's not
my nose
good.
Is stuffy. My organs hurt. My back hurts again today. You got to leave me on the side of the road. I got to die. I'll get picked apart by foxes and bobcats and things.
It's a slow death.
Let me return to nature.
Give me something for the pain and let me die.
Will I dream?
Oh my goodness.
So welcome back to Scryer's Room. I am your host, Thamfair.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Mario.
And if you enjoy the nature of this content, you can go and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can go and give me a follow on Blue Sky. And you can support us on our Patreon. And today, we're going to go back into some more Skaven.
Yes, the Ratman.
The horrid Ratman. The horrid Ratman.
He's got to have that qualifier.
Are these less horrid Ratmen than the ones we were talking about? We talked about Pestilence last time, right?
So, in my opinion, they're less horrid, but they're worse for different reasons.
Of course they are.
So today we're going to be talking about the Clan Scryer, the Techno Rats. So, Clan Scryer is perhaps the most ubiquitous of the four great clans. Its members are known as Warlock Engineers and are part wizard, part technological inventor, for only Clan Scryer is granted permission to study and use magic beyond the Greyseers. Specializing in blending arcane sorcery and warpstone-based science, they engineer some of the most diabolical war machines in all of Malus. While they are skilled spellcasters, the majority are content to use their wicked arms to destroy their foes and sell off these devices to the highest bidder.
I mean, so obviously they have to be pretty prolific if everyone basically has, like, their derived, like, machine guns and things.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's one of those things where in the arms race to control the Under Empire, they're the best arms dealers.
And they thankfully don't have... I mean, also, they're, like, the only ones that are allowed to use magic. Everyone else has to use, you know, dumb old regular things. Like the Cauldron of 1,000 Poxes!
Yo, the plague priests don't do isn't magic. It's prayer.
Wait, are since they're the only ones allowed to like do technomancy shenanigans, are they supposed to be selling them to other people, or is it?
Yes.
Like,
oh, they're allowed to. Yeah.
Okay.
But they sell.
I could just see that like they like no, don't go selling this to other clans. And just like, oh, we won't. And then just like,
we promise, yeah, swear.
Of course they would. If that was
so, the they rule. Don't really make the distinction between technology and magic. Mm-hmm. The warlock engineers don't.
Right.
But most of their machines are powered by warpstone, which is, you know, in itself magic. But they just see it as sophisticated technology that they're selling. They're not selling magic.
Right. I mean, if it's all powered by the warpstone, then they, I'm sure, just consider that to be just a power source.
Yeah, it's just technology to them. While the other great clans have their main strongholds elsewhere in the world, it would seem that Clan Scryer chiefly operates out of Skavenblight itself. During the Second Great Civil War, the tinkering chief Lord Moriskatar seized the city and ineffectually declared himself Emperor of all Skavendom. Since then, Skavenblight has been ablaze with the industry of Clan Scryer, and there is very little the other clans can do about it. Warpforge workshops churn out war engines tirelessly, fed by a near-endless stream of slaves and warpstone.
And it's just like machines that are just... Essentially, every time a slave comes to bring, like, a piece down the line, a hammer smashes the slave and then, like, uses that to lubricate the slider to get the piece over to the other side, it's where another slave picks it up and brings it back to the first machine.
With that fucking music, it's like Mickey Mouse gloves on, like, fucking, like, you know, it's just, like, grabbing them. And it's just throwing them into the furnace or whatever.
Throwing them deeper into the grinder. No, it is thought by many that Clan Scryer is the most powerful and influential of the four great clans. They possess the largest arsenal of the Skaven, enough to rival any human nation in the world. The clan's extensive wealth comes from renting, I say this in quotes, their weapons to the highest bidder, being the wealthiest clan besides Clan Mulder. Now, some sources state that Clan Mulder is the wealthiest clan. Other sources state Clan Scryer is the wealthiest clan, so we can assume that between the two of them, they are the wealthiest clans.
Yeah.
Which makes Scryer super fucking wealthy compared to all the other Skaven. Lord Warlock Moriskatar occupies the 12th seat of the Council of 13, which is the second most influential spot. So to explain that, I was going to save this for the council, but their table is like a horseshoe shaped.
Yeah.
But there's only one little sliver in the horseshoe, and that's the ritualistic spot for the Horned Rat.
Right.
And then the spot immediately next to it are spots 1 and 12, and those are the most influential seats. And then, well, it's number 1 is
oh, the
Lord Guano, Krislek, the Greyseer, the head of the Greyseers. And then the number 12 is Moriskatar, showing how powerful Scryer is. They have the second most powerful seat.
Yeah.
And then it descends from there, with seats 7 and 6 being the weakest. Scryer has the second most influential seat, which goes to show how powerful they are in Skaven society. Because of their impressively diabolic war machines, Clan Scryer's other technological advancements are overlooked. Some of their less destructive inventions include the warp rail, which connects one end of the empire to the other. Yes, they have railroads.
Okay. We also invented trains. No one talks about the trains.
No one talks about the trains.
Ooh, that's significantly worse.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
That's not good.
We all talk about the doomsday weapons and the lasers and stuff, but we don't talk about them having actual fucking trains.
Well, no, because the tunnels were bad enough, but then it's like, oh, there's trains in the tunnels too. It's like, ah, ooh. Jeez, come on, that's like...
Yeah, I had mentioned previously that the Skaven can reinforce their positions in like a ludicrous amount of time. Yeah, part of that is because they have fucking trains.
Infrastructure!
Yeah, stonks, up, up, up. If only they didn't rapidly betray each other all the time and use those rails to invade other Skaven instead of helping them.
Dude, I'm imagining it's like, it has to happen every, like... At least every now and then, it's like the Futurama train pileup. It's like, don't worry, the mayor says he's sending in more trains. They just keep smashing in because there's so many schemes happening that just fuck up all the trains.
Yeah, God bless. Another impressive invention is the Far Squeaker, which allows instant communication over long distances. Okay. Yes, they have a telephone.
Far Squeaker.
Mm-hmm. Now, again,
too cute.
I love it, dude.
It's too cute.
Why do you think it's Big Tony? Why do you think I love Skaven so much? How adorable they are.
These guys
but it's like, use the fire squeaker to tell them to genocide them all. Like, what? No. Send the order.
The more I think about it, you know what? The Skaven are like in a fantasy world in cowboy times level of technology.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
They have guns and like
a lot of their stuff and is like turn of the 20th century level tech. Yeah. Like stuff that happened in like the 20th century, they just are doing it. Like, and I want to take this time. I give Fallout a lot of shit. I have nothing against the IP, but the quote of war never changes. I love ripping that line apart because one of the most impactful things to ever affect warfare happened at the turn of the 20th century. And it wasn't the plane, it wasn't bombs, it was the radio.
Yeah.
For thousands of years, information is what dictated the fate of warfare. It doesn't matter if you have more troops, better troops, or like well-fed troops. If you don't have the information to put them where they need to be at the right time, you fucking lose. You lose every fucking time.
Information used to travel at the speed of a guy.
Falconry. Like, one of the reasons the Mongols steamrolled was not only because they were so mobile because of horses, but they practiced falconry so like they could send messages across vast distances very easily. And stuff like that revolutionized warfare. The radio, being able to instantaneously tell someone what to do, where to do it, and how, we never had that before. That was that alone revolutionized warfare. And the Skaven have that.
And everyone else is still doing things like reading the wind.
Yeah. Like, there's like divination wizards and shit. I was gonna say, like,
magic you can do, but it's probably harder, right?
And then also, magic is typically outlawed in places.
Yeah.
Like, there are very few wizards, like, at least in the Empire.
I was just going to say, like, it's not that it's impossible to, like, that the other nations aren't doing that, but it's just, like, Skaven have just mass-produced it.
Yeah, like, yeah. The Far Squeakers are not, like, an exceedingly rare thing. So, like, I'm assuming every major stronghold has a Far Squeaker installed and a Warlock Engineer to maintain it. This is speculation, but in the Greyseer novels, that was the case. Right. Or not the Greyseer novels, but in Godric and Felix, when they first introduced Thankul, one of the first things he does is get orders on the Farsqueaker.
I mean, it makes sense. The Skaven aren't stupid. That isn't their problem.
They're just bastards.
They're bastards.
Rat bastards. Yeah. All of them.
And that always tears them down like a Tom and Jerry, like Wile E. Coyote.
They're literally Wile E. Coyotes. Their traps always impode on themselves and always do more damage to them than anybody else.
Yeah.
Not always.
With every often. Technological and like intellectual advantage, that Roadrunner still gets away.
Yeah, he gets away. It's and like, then they blame everybody else.
It's for every step they get to take forward, they have to blow themselves up like three or four times.
Yeah. And much of the Under Empire's mining and expansion are owed to Skryer manufactured earth movers and rock drills like the Warp Grinder. The greatest and perhaps most subtle invention that Skryer has given to Skavendom is the production of electricity. Skavenblight is electrified. It has lights.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah, that's...
There's no reason that, like, the Skaven don't just win.
That okay.
They do win. That so, is, like, part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a sewage system?
Yes, it's called the Road.
I don't... I mean,
I was just because I wouldn't have guessed a lot of the other things, so I wouldn't. I'm not gonna. I would think they don't. But
they love filth.
So far they have electricity. Like what the fuck?
I can't give you a straightforward answer. I believe they have things that would equate to a sewer system, and they typically inhabit sewer systems,
like a pit or something.
Yeah, but they typically don't care about refuse and stuff. Like they'll just kind of wait in it. So they don't. That's not really one of their priorities.
It's like. Guys are so close to just being a real civilization.
So close, but so far.
You're almost there.
They have
restaurants
far.
And phones and trains and electricity.
Dwarf eating contests.
Yeah.
Eat this whole dwarf and take ownership of your clan. But yeah, they have electricity. The typical way it's generated is through conveyor belts with a bunch of rats on them. They use giant hamster wheels and make electricity.
They just slave it up. It works. To a man with a hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
They got two things in abundance in the Under Empire. Manpower and Warpstone.
Yeah. So. And we need that Warpstone.
Yeah.
So get on the hamster wheel.
Yeah, no, they're, so those are like the big ones that like are really overshadowed by all the Doomsday weapons, but they're huge.
Okay, so that the hamster wheel thing makes me think of there's a I don't know where it originated from. There was like a post online of a guy asking a question of like, if you use the rules for like Animate Dead and D&D and had a zombie and had it just run on a wheel forever, like how much energy could it generate like over time? So it's just like, do they do zombie stuff? Could they like maybe do that?
Or so I don't believe they've dabbled into the lore of undeath or lore of necromancy.
I don't think they even necessarily know about it because they think that's something else. And when things die for real, you just eat them.
Okay, yeah. I mean, with their conflicts from Nagash, they probably wouldn't be about that.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure what their mastery on undead is. I haven't heard of any Skaven necromancers coming around.
Skekromancers.
I think that would probably mostly have to do with it being sacrosanct among the Greyseers, and them being like the gatekeepers of magic. Besides the Technorats, it just hasn't come up. Because a lot of it, like if you do magic and you're not supposed to, it's a heresy, and then they just get your.
That's ass. Hilarious that they have heresy.
Yeah, the Greyseers will call people heretics and just eat them.
That's ridiculous.
It's one of the big reasons Pestilence has to be careful about the shit they talk, because if they talk too much shit, heresy! And then another civil war.
They're right about that, though.
Yeah, they are absolutely. Absolutely they're correct about that one. We established that in the previous episode. If you haven't heard it, our Clan Pestilence episode. They
should all be killed.
They should all be killed. They are a detriment to the Under Empire. Goddamn traitors.
Anything Nurgle involved, even like adjacently, is just gross.
Yeah, it's just bad. It's just like, bad idea. Granted, like of the four Chaos Gods, if it was like gun to my head, you have to pick. I would probably pick Nurgle because like,
air quotes chill, but
the first
in the worst way.
The first few years are pretty bad. You're not gonna have a good time, but then you get used to not having a good time, and then you go to enjoy it. Whereas all the other ones, you're just a pawn, and it's misery and plotting and scheming. And Nurgle doesn't do a lot of plotting and scheming. He does a lot of chilling. And that I'm a homebody. I like that. But the Skaven, they don't do that. They're still scheming and plotting. So they don't even get the benefits of being a chill homebody as being a Nurgle follower.
Just evil and scheming. Plus...
This was plus Black stinky.
Plague Bomb!
Yeah, plus Stinky Rat. I hate it. I hate him so much.
I want to know what Korn thinks about the Skaven.
He fucking hates him. I can only imagine.
Right?
Yeah, because they're... So cowardly, right?
Well, I mean, they're hates that shit, right? They live and die in war pretty like brutally in a way that I feel like he would really like. Except he's also like, you don't eat them afterwards. You got to give them to me.
Well, like Korn is all about like blood for the blood god, like smash thrash and like charge that fucker. Skavens do backstabbing shenanigans.
So yeah, one of the classic Korn, you know, worshiper lines is like Korn cares not from where the blood flows or whatever.
Yeah, fair enough,
but. At the same time, he'd rather you do it X way. You know, like, in air quotes, honorable duel.
Like, so one thing about the Skaven is that, like, they kind
Pretty
of...
Much. Yeah.
They have aspects of all four of the Chaos Gods. At least that was their kind of original design philosophy.
Right.
One of the things that's Korn aligned is the Black Hunger.
Like, yeah.
Because Korn is about cannibalism. Korn is definitely about cannibalism. In fact, in Age of Sigmar, one of the only ways to become Korn Bloodbound is you have to eat people. Like, your initiation rite is like, okay, you guys are being enslaved by us now. You are owned by the Bloodbound. If you want to be a Chad, eat your friends. Eat the ones who won't join us.
That's the whole thing in 40K, too. Korn actually wanted Sanguinius. He didn't want Ingram.
Yeah, the blood vampires.
That's very funny to me to find out from God, like, definitely from God, like, you were my second choice.
Yeah, he was the B option. It's
Yeah, what a fucking...
Poor Ingron, really, I mean.
What a fucking feel bad. I didn't know that, by the way. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That would make me call up Tzeentch.
For real, though, I think Ingron is, like, the saddest Primarch. But anyway, escape.
Yeah, but so tragic. But yeah, that's a different episode.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk a bit about Scryer's culture.
Yeah.
So, Clan Scryer is first and foremost a technocracy. The clan warlocks are constantly researching new technologies to unleash upon their enemies and fill their coffers. These experiments are just as likely to succeed as they are to fail, often with catastrophic results. Such failures are to be expected, especially those on the cutting edge of technological advancement. The most common way to advance in Clan Scryer hierarchy is to inherit the developments of a predecessor who met an untimely end. So,
just do the patent office.
Yep.
Yeah.
Patent office trick where it's just like, oh... Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm so glad I invented it.
I'm so glad I thought of it.
The Thomas Edison bit.
Yeah.
And both the Grey Seers and the Pestilent Brotherhood of Clan Scryer have a deep hatred for Clan Scryer, as they are the most secular and, in quotes, progressive of the Skaven clans. Yeah, right, that's a word for Skaven right there, progressive.
But, yeah.
But technically...
In a sense...
You know?
Because they're Skaven, it's a really corrupted and fucked up sense, but...
I mean, in a way, if you're inventing things, you can't be tied down by the ideals of the past.
Nope. So they're very big visionaries, and they are considered by all the other Skaven to be progressives. The Grey Seers and Pestilence consider the devotion of Clan Scryer's, Clan Scryer's devotion to the Horned Rat lacking, and the clan as a whole to be terribly impious. Conversely, Clan Scryer is a close ally to Clan Mulder, with Pack Lord Verminkin often aligning his votes and vetoes with Lord Morskatar. Both clans are known for their infernal experiments, and their collaboration brought about horrors like the Storm Fiend. Now, I was debating and whether to talk about Storm Fiends in the Scryer episode, or this, yeah, Scryer episode, or the Mulder episode. I'm going to save it for Mulder so I can go through all the Technorat stuff so we can actually understand better the how horrible the collaboration is when Scryer and Mulder put their infernal minds together. The Storm Fiend helped bring Dwarven civilization to an end. That's how powerful of a shock troop they are. And I'll go into detail about them in another episode. So I'm going to talk about some of their lords and characters of note. So the chief character units in Clan Scryer's arsenal are the Warlock Engineers.
Right.
Run-of-the-mill Scryer Technomancers. They serve as artificers of Skaven society, blending arcane sorcery with technology in the most insane way. They make no delineation where science stops, where magic begins, seeing the elements as one and the same. With goggles, whirring and clicking harnesses, and warp blades that often protrude from their flesh, a Warlock Engineer is an intimidating sight. Bionics and limb replacements are common among Warlock Engineers, largely due to limb loss from experiments. Many can summon warp lightning with the flip of a switch, unleashing the power of chaos on their foes.
We got cyberpunk rats down there.
Yeah, cyberpunk rats.
They're just 40k orcs.
Like, yeah, they're basically
they're 40k doing the exact orcs. Same thing the orcs do
with their technology. Yeah, they take scrap and the shit everyone else has, and they hammer it together.
And they're like blowing off their arms and legs and shit, and just slapping something else there. Like,
you know the loot of tanks. I'm going to give you an example of, in a few snippets here of the Skaven equivalent of the looted tank. It's terrifying. But yeah, so Warlock Engineers. Warp lightning is one of the mainstay spells of the Lore of Ruin. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's Sith lightning, but green. In Total War Warhammer, they visualize it as coming from the sky, like it makes a little cloud that like builds up and then crashes down.
Yeah.
But in almost every other piece of media, it's Sith lightning.
Yeah.
They extend a hand. And there's a bit of a build-up, and then a blast of green, horrible lightning comes out and vaporizes things. It's sick as fuck.
I ask all of you listening out there, what do you prefer? The Pikachu down B or the Palpatine move?
Leave us a comment. Which one do you think is cooler?
We like to say the term Doombolt. That's basically what we mean.
Like, the only reason I didn't say Doombolt is that Doombolt is from Warhammer, and it is a specific spell. I love Doombolt. Doombolt made me so happy. I remember being a dumb little kid, reading the third edition Chaos Space Marines Codex, and then looking at the Chaos Sorcerer, one of the sickest archetypes in the entire fucking universe, and going through their spell page, and looking at all these things, the quickening, all these cool things, and then Doombolt. And what is it? It's a las cannon.
Yeah.
The heavy artillery tank-busting laser cannon of the Imperium in the tip of your fucking finger. Doombolt. I love it.
It's a pretty good move.
Blow a tank up. Just like a Tim the Enchanter from Monty Python. Just fucking pointing shit and then exploding.
So like you ever need to describe a guy just getting someone with a nyah, like in the Doombolt.
That's Doombolt.
Bolt of doom.
Just they're no longer there. They have been doomed.
It's a pretty good move.
And now we're going to move on to the Warlock Master. Experienced Warlock Engineers, Warlock Masters have achieved a higher rank in Scryer's hierarchy. They act as the immediate supervisors of the lesser warlocks and steal credit for their accomplishments and inventions in, as any Skaven would. These mad science rats combine well-known weapons with heavy armor to make a myriad of devices that don't always function well. Many have met their doom as the result of a weapon misfiring or an exploding warp power accumulator. Going back to how you advance in Clan Scryer's hierarchy is typically when the Warlock Master blows himself up. And then the most closest rat that knew his secrets is like, I will lead now. And then the other ones are like, okay, until you blow up too.
Luckily, by the time your master blows up, you know the safe distance to be standing away and also which part to look at. Because when it breaks, like, you know which part's gonna break and cause this thing to explode. So you know which part to also fix.
Yeah, yeah, you can improve upon his designs. It's succeed or he failed.
It's what Sensei would have wanted.
And now we're going to talk about the Tinkering Chief, Lord Morskitar.
They have a lot of cutesy names for the worst things in the universe.
I love it! I love it!
Far Squeaker.
Too cute.
They're Tinkering so Chief. Adorable in the worst possible ways. What
the Great Sniff, was it?
The Great Sniff is when they first explored Ridiculous. The world. It's so good. It is unclear how long Morskitar has ruled over Clan Scryer, but he had a hold over the clan since before or around the Second Great Civil War. Due to his long existence, much of his body has been replaced with a metal frame and tubing, making him much more machine than rat. His crowning achievement was seizing the Temple of the Horned Rat at the onset of the Second Skaven Civil War, declaring himself Emperor of all Skavendom.
They got an Atom Smasher rat.
Yeah, they have an Atom Smasher rat. Clan Scryer has seized most of Skavenblight's lower tunnels for Scryer and drove the other Skaven out, a status quo that has been maintained ever since. So he's just chilling in Skavenblight. I wasn't able to see if they had like an actual main fortress anywhere else. To my understanding, they just made Skavenblight their main fortress.
Right.
And this is backed up in Total War Warhammer. They start in Skavenblight. They're the only that's the faction that starts there is Clan Scryer. So I think that's...
I mean, it makes sense for your like technological hub to also be like your main capital where you're most insulated.
Precisely. And like, which goes back to what I was saying about Skavenblight is a technological marvel, like because of Clan Scryer. They have electricity. Like it's...
And you know, all the railroads probably branch out from right there.
I can't comment on that, but it would be assumed there's at least the hub because where else would they go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we're going to talk about Ikit Claw, a fan favorite.
He's got a good name.
Chief Warlock Engineer, he is the most ambitious and talented warlock and scryer and the right hand of Lord Morskitar. Tall and white-furred, Ikit was born for greatness. His body badly burned in an experiment long ago, Ikit constructed an armored frame to maintain his broken body. His face is covered by a metal mask, and his left arm is encased in a powered claw that features a warp fire projector. He carries with him the Storm Demon, a hellish halberd of his own devising that can unleash powerful warp bolts. Entire legions of Skaven slaves have been blasted to bits to fuel Ikit's experiments, a price gladly paid for the sheer killing power he offers. Ikit would see all of Skavendom ruined just to measure the power of his creations for all to see.
Obviously, we'd prefer he shoot someone else with them.
Yes. But yet.
Is this the guy who made the moon gun?
He made the Doom Rocket to blow up the moon.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to make the Doom Rocket to blow up the moon, but there were some setbacks. So he ended up getting axed on that project, much to his dismay.
Right, he could have made it happen.
And then another guy decided, you can't use a rocket. You have to use a laser cannon.
Everyone knows this.
Everyone knows this. You know, we'll get into more details about that when I cover the end times. It's some downright silly shit.
So Ikit Claw's out here with his flamethrower arm and a halberd that shoots laser beams.
Yeah, he's out here living his best life.
He's in an Iron Man suit.
In an Iron Man suit, yeah. Yes. And power arm.
He's a fucking dreadnought.
but a pint-sized
They one. Might as well be a different setting. Than
okay, yeah.
They literally aren't from a different setting. He's That's like why... yes.
He's like a much better made Killican.
Yeah, yeah, but rat-sized, just man-sized. Ikit has traveled the world in his quest for knowledge, from Far Cathay to Lustria to Naggaroth to the Chaos Dwarves of Zarnagrund. He set about the task of redeveloping Skaven warp forges of the Under Empire. This was put into fruition during the Second Great Civil War. Appointed lead emissary of Lord Morskitar, he ordered massive warp forges and armories to be put in the stone beneath Skavenblight. So when that big change was made, that renovation was changed, Ikit headed it and basically made like modern, up-to-date, like better warp forges down there and revolutionized their entire industry by doing so.
The Skaven are the only ones taking this whole take over the world thing seriously.
they're taking it so seriously, and yet the schemes upon schemes upon backstabs just undermine every attempt. It's always sunny down in Skaven, Blight. Yeah, it's just how it goes, man.
So he like made the like diesel engine basically or something, or
I'm not entirely sure how he revolutionized just the warp forges. Efficient or something. It just explains that he did
just better.
Doesn't go into details. But one thing that they do go into detail about is in the Thankill novels, Ikit Claw created an atomic bomb called the Doom Sphere.
Fucking what?
Okay, sure.
The device is similar to the device that the Skaven used to originally sink Skaven Blight and cause the ruination of the dwarves. And Ikit just made one out of a whim. Just like, I can do this. I can make a big old bomb.
Yeah, I did the math. We did it once. It wasn't that hard.
Should Ikit's vice be completed, it would spell catastrophe to the world as a whole.
No kidding.
Yeah. I didn't read the novel. I know he gets sabotaged, but I don't know if he actually completed it. But yeah, the dwarves led an expedition to like not let that fucking happen, obviously. But yeah, Ikit Claw knows how to make atomic bombs.
It just, I mean, it said it right there at the beginning of, you know, he's willing to just kill them all if it means it works.
So. Man-Ratten Project.
The Man-Ratten Project! Boo! Yeah. Boo! Boo this man!
Yes.
Boo!
Yeah, that's why he had his head in his hands
for a second.
I was wondering, did he get a spike of pain or something? What happened here? No, he knew. He knew the horror.
I just had unleashed. To, real fast.
So that's going to be enough about Skaven characters. We're going to go into the units they field on the tabletop now.
Yeah.
The Poisoned Wind Globedeer.
Oh, so they're the guys who mainly use the Poisoned Wind?
Yeah. Few weapons are as horrific as Clan Scryer's Poisoned Wind.
Right.
It epitomizes the Warlock Engineer's ability to kill many with little effort. In this case, as simple as taking the wrong breath. The Poisoned Wind Globedeers are trained in the use of poison like Eshin Assassins, but they focus on toxins that kill many enemies at once, rather than a single target. They store these toxins in glass orbs that are thrown into the ranks of the enemy and break open, releasing their deadly payload on friend and foe alike.
What matters is getting the poison there. What happens after that is up to the Great Horned Rat.
Listen, if they were on the front lines, it didn't matter anyway.
That's why we send them up.
That's why they're there. Globedeers wear heavy protective gear that allows them to resist the effects of the poison wind.
That surprises me.
Heavy robes, gas masks, and air filters on their backs, their attire also lends them a very menacing appearance. Once they've hurled their poisonous cargo, they draw their blades in a way into the mass of their fallen victims to dispatch those still clinging to life.
I'm imagining that the blades that they draw are more like, you know, the litter pickers? Where it's like a nail on like a long stick, so you don't have to bend all the way
over. Oh yeah, and they just fucking, and just like nick him real quick, like
yeah, just real quick, right in the neck.
Just some gurgling guy, you just get him real quick, yeah. Fuck him.
I'm shocked that they have any protective gear at all. Typically, the Skaven methodology is you don't need protective gear; you're supposed to die.
See, if they were slaves or like lower clan Skaven,
right? But these are Skaven. But these with are the
big brain tech. Yeah, these are Skaven with degrees. I'm not going to die. They're going to die. I'll be fine. By the way, Poison Wind can still kill them. Like, in the tabletop, if you got a bad roll, they would still just fucking die. So
They just Jar Jar that shit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was yep. Completely accurate. The modern versions don't have as many, like, fuck yourself mechanics, but old Skaven, almost every sort of weapon had some sort of, if you roll a one, you fuck yourself. Okay. Isn't that fun? And it was fun. It was fun every single time. Very few times have I had more fun in Warhammer than when I blew myself up with Skaven. It's just, you're just like, look at him go.
Additional chaos and difficulty always spikes fun.
It does. The randomness factor of it. It's such a thrill. Now I'm going to talk about the weapon teams. Scryer weapons are employed by weapon teams that hide within the ranks of the Clan Rats. Clan Rats will open rank, allowing the teams to unleash their payloads upon the enemy with minimum exposure to retaliation. Most weapon teams are prone to malfunction, either exploding or otherwise devastating any caught nearby, friend or foe. Warlock engineers rarely buff out these design flaws, eager to work on newer, better inventions than fine-tuned ones that more or less already work.
What sort of weapons are they bringing?
So, the first one we're going to talk about is the Warp Fire Thrower. The Warp Fire Thrower is actually the first weapon team to show up in Skaven history, right, like from the tabletop and developmental aspect.
Or napalm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why not? Mm-hmm. They've got everything else.
It is the perhaps most indiscriminate of the weapon teams. The Warp Fire Thrower spews volatile warp fuel that ignites in green streams. It requires two Skaven to operate, one to aim the thrower and another to hold the fuel tank. The warp flame can melt steel, rending most armor useless.
Jeez. Man, the Skaven should just, they should have won. Thank God they haven't.
Yeah, it's a miracle anyone, going back to previous episode, it's a miracle anyone's still alive. It should all just be barren wasteland with rats screaming at each other.
Because, you know, like, in the real world, one of the things that, like, keeps people from doing, like, technically speaking, if we didn't care about what happened to our own soldiers in any situation, then, like, every war would just be the end of the world.
Yeah. You have to clean, yet there has to be something to inherit afterwards.
Yeah.
Otherwise, things get rough quick.
And the Skaven are like, nah, we can live in an ended world. In fact, it's part of our plan.
It's the goal.
We love radiation. It's vitamins to us.
And then I want to talk a little bit about the gameplay mechanic of weapon teams. So it's evolved to a few different ways of how they like work on the tabletop. But in older editions, you wouldn't place them on the tabletop. You would set them up in other units of at least 10 models, and they'd be hidden.
You'd sneak them in to your opponent as well. Yeah,
yeah, and they'd be sneaky. And so you could have like a block of clan rats or storm vermin, and they'd be marching doing their thing. And then at some point during the turn order, you can reveal them, and then you set them up next to them. And then typically, your enemy couldn't really target them with shooting unless they were within a certain distance or there were certain parameters about being able to target the weapon teams. And then, yeah, after they're done hiding, they pop out, and then they can start acting as normal. So you could really, like, fuck your opponent because, you know, I have three weapon teams, but I have six units they could be in.
Right.
You know, where are you going to advance on, motherfucker?
You have no way of knowing which one of these contains the warp fire throwers.
It's actually, like, a good move, but because of, you know, things are too cute with them for some reason, I'm just imagining it's, like, Looney Tunes tactics. Like, I just paint, like, a big, like, tree or something and a tiny vine that.
Yeah.
Like, and then when they get there, it's just like, ha ha!
Another
thing. They're wearing a big Chinese dragon outfit.
You know? Like.
Another thing that, in older editions that set them apart is, you are not allowed to fire into melee in Warhammer. Like, the second two blocks of units meet each other, they can no longer be shot at on either side. The Skaven don't care about that.
Right.
They had a rule called life is cheap where you can shoot into a melee, but your misses hit your guys instead of just falling off. And
a sacrifice I am willing to make.
Yeah, exactly. And the Warp Fire Thrower used a template. It's like a teardrop template, and it's a pretty big one. So like a well-positioned Warp Fire Thrower could hit upwards of 20 models in one attack, which is a lot in that game. Like, typically, like, you're only getting, like two or three shots from an attack.
Right.
Tops.
And a bullet hits one guy.
Yeah, and a bullet hits one guy. A cannon might hit a line of dudes, and that's capping out typically at four or five. If the unit is big. The Warp Fire Thrower can potentially hit an entire unit of people with one gout of flame, if you position it right. And it's a lot easier to position it right when those guys are bogged down by slaves. One of the tactics of Skaven is, I spend 2 points per model on slaves. I go to fight your heavy infantry who are worth 20 points per model. My slaves can't fight them. They can't do anything to them, but they can hold them there while the Warp Fire Thrower opens up. I kill 20 slaves. I kill 10 of your guys. I've lost 40 points. You've lost 200.
That's just good business.
It's just math.
That's where Skaven are almost a feel-bad army to play against Because if I lose 11 slaves dragging down one knight, I'm up in points. I'm winning.
My goodness.
I mean, you know.
That's Skaven, baby.
That's Skaven. What we've been talking about. You said, like, you know, 10 to 1 odds. Hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hell yeah. Stonks up. The next weapon team we're going to talk about is also adorable. The Rattling Gun.
Yes. This is my favorite dumb pun. Because, Gatling guns are named after, I think, a man.
Yeah, I think his name was like something Gatling. Yeah.
Something Gatling, who doesn't exist in Warhammer.
No.
Which means that if they invent actual Gatling guns, like the humans or dwarves do, they would, if they call it the Gatling gun, they would be referencing the Rattling gun.
Yeah, like, well, don't you mean the Rattling gun?
they would need to call it something else, like the Datling gun, because it's dwarves instead of rats.
The massive repeater. Now, the Rattling Gun is one of the newer inventions of Clan Scryer, and it is a steam-powered, multi-barreled gun that fires a continuous volley of warp-lead bullets. It is operated by two Skaven, one to point the barrels at the foe, and the other to turn the crank. Able to fire... Yeah, it's crank-powered. It's so cute. And one of the ways they describe it malfunctioning is the crank guy gets too excited and he starts cranking too fast, it too quick. Yeah. And then it gets too much pressure and it just blows.
You ever seen any things about like old Gatling guns? How, like when machine guns were first invented? Like one of the big parts of training is like teaching them like the actual rhythm. Because if you... I mean, it's belt fed.
Yeah.
And those are just bullets. That's just full of gunpowder. If you fuck it up, it blows up and shrapnel everywhere.
Just like the Rattling Gun.
Now imagine if you're also on crack cocaine.
Now, the Rattling Gun is able to fire up 100 bullets per minute, and Scryer always runs out of Rattling Guns before it runs out of buyers to buy them.
Of course.
Now, in the tabletop, in I think 6th and 7th edition, so all the weapon teams can misfire. Like, there's an artillery dice you roll that goes, it goes 2, 4, 6, 8, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and then a critical, and the critical is the misfire. And then typically every war machine will have its own misfire table that you roll on a D6. And then one is almost always explodes. And then like 2 to 5 is usually something that's like bad but not horrible. And then 6 is like, oh, it just can't fire that turn. Like basically like, you know, you're still in it, but you miss your shots. One of the ones for the Rattling Gun, I want to say it was a 2 to 5 result, is you roll the scatter dice, which is just the dice with arrows on it, and then two sides are like a target bullseye.
Yeah.
But even the bullseye has an arrow on it in case you can't get a bullseye with that specific thing you're rolling for.
Yeah.
So you roll the scatter dice, and whatever direction the scatter dice shows, the Rattling Gun turns and faces that direction and fucking unloads.
Jeez.
So one of my favorite in quotes here moments with Skaven, I had my block of Storm Vermin and my Warlord on his Red Ogre Bonebreaker leading them.
Yeah.
And I was about to charge Sean's Blackguard. Rather, he was about to charge me. He was getting set up to do it. And then I refuel my Rattling Gun and I'm like, oh, time to fucking
unload. Oh, it's going to go just like history time. Yep. You're going to charge right into the wall of bullets.
Mm-hmm, right into the wall of bullets. And I misfire.
Welcome to World War I, bitch.
And I misfire and I turn.
Oh, no!
And I unload It's like, I don't want to, like, size the shots.
A massive...
It was at least 15 shots into my own guys, and I just scythe through my centerpiece bodyguard for my warlord and just massacre my own men. And I'm like, yeah, that's Skaven. That's hip-hop. That's the struggle.
The struggle, yeah.
The struggle to shoot your opponent and then you shoot yourself.
Once again, I'm imagining it like Looney Tunes, where the crank guy just gets too amped at that cranking. And then the recoil just makes it start like...
Yeah.
And then the turn guy's like, wait, no! Ah! And then they just...
The armor of the Storm Vermin was meaningless to warp lead bullets. Yeah, fun times all around. Now, in Total War Warhammer, there is a variant of the Rattling Gun that's used in that's single-manned. So it's just, they have a big old Rattling Gun. And
oh, like
they
a
have,
minigun?
Yeah, it's like a minigun. Hmm. And they have the ammo on their backs. And these ones are lighter and have much less ammo, so it allows a single man to be able to carry it. And my favorite depiction of this version of the Rattling Gun comes from the trailer where they first announced that Clan Scryer is getting released, called The Prophet and the Warlock. If you haven't seen this and you're a Skaven fan, Total War Warhammer 2, you have to look this up because they did frame for frame the scene from Predator where the predator ambushes them in the woods and kills that guy by shooting him in the back. And then they all just start shooting into the jungle blindly. Just unload. They do the scene frame for frame with Skaven creeping through the jungle. And then a lizard man, a chameleon lizard man, shoots him and he dies. And at this point, originally it's like the rattling gun how it's supposed to be with two Skaven holding it. But then the front gunner dies. And the one with the power source on his back just starts panicking and picks up the rattling gun and just starts screaming and shooting into the woods. And then AK Claw shows up and he just starts shooting his flamethrower into the woods. And then all the guns just start blasting into the fucking trees, just screaming manically. It's so fucking good. It's so fucking good. I love the Techno Rats. They make me so happy.
I like these guys so far more than Pestilence by a mile.
I think one of the reasons Scryer is a fan favorite is because they're the most sanitized.
Yeah.
They're just fun techno rats.
When I think of them being dirty, I think of them being oily or maybe gory.
Rusty. It's not really well kept, and there's like stray wires about to electrocute you, but it's not like, oh, everyone gets the plague and dies.
Oh no, that isn't dirt. That's the black pus from my wounds. Yeah. I like to cultivate illnesses in my sores.
I hate it so much. I don't like the plague rats. They're so gross.
They're so gross. Just kill me with a bullet.
Yeah, just shoot me. Just fucking shoot me.
Also, warp lead bullets. They have depleted uranium and lead bullets. So if you get hit even a little bit.
Yeah, you're just poisoned. The bullets are poison.
You're addicted to crack cocaine and also lead poisoning.
The next weapon team we're going to talk about is the Poisoned Wind Mortar. So a form of mobile light artillery, the Poisoned Wind Mortar fires poisoned wind globes at a much longer distance. It is operated by two Skaven. The launcher is fixed to the back of one, while the other one serves as a loader.
Why don't they just put it on the ground?
Easier to move. The guy can get scurry away when he needs to.
You're less valuable than valuable ground we could be walking on.
I don't know if he could hear anymore.
What?
Yeah, like... That's like it's got to be right next to his ears, right? Like at the back of his head.
Squeak up. I can't hear you.
Squeak up. That's so good.
Ta-da.
Skaven are so cute. There's so many puns you can do. It's endless fun.
That's one of my favorite little jokes about the Gretchen or Grots that work in Orc Titans, Gargants.
Yeah.
Is they communicate with sign languages, but it's sign language, but it's usually very simple because they can only have so many signs at one time.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're not very smart.
Because they're dumb.
And so it's not like, you know, hand. It's they have literal like Wile E. Coyote signs.
Yeah.
That they flash back and forth.
That's awesome.
Because they all go deaf. Because of the giant.
I love that. They speak only in sign language, and then you turn like an idiot, waggling your hands, and they pull out a sign that says "Uh oh."
Yeah.
Like a Looney Tunes bit. So the next weapon team we're going to talk about is the Warp Grinder. So this is a smaller variant of the machines used for tunneling. Energy is channeled into a warp stone-powered beam that bores through rock with ease. These are also used as combat weapons and shock weapons after they've finished tunneling.
Okay, I'm glad that it's a laser gun, because when you say Warp Grinder and they use it as a siege weapon, I was imagining, you know, just like a yawning mouth of like a wheat thresher that guys are just pulling like on a litter that they're just mashing into your army.
We have something similar like that coming up. Not quite like that, but
why
something
similar. Wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm. So the Warp Grinder is used to tunnel behind the enemy positions much faster than a crew of slaves could. It is also manned by two Skaven. And now the next team we're going to talk about is the Warp Volt Scourge. Now, this is the newest weapon team. This is actually from Age of Sigmar, but I thought I'd go ahead and give it a mention because it is a Clan Scryer war machine. It is a mini warp lightning cannon, and it channels warp lightning between two orb light conductors to blast the foe with voltaic death. The beam can conduct even through souls, leaving its victims fatally convulsing. In the tabletop, their big thing is anti-cavalry, because they're a larger target, and it's basically like a chain lightning laser cannon.
Right.
And they're typically fielded in trios, And yeah, they just shoot disco lasers at you, and then you fucking explode.
And it leaps between souls?
Yeah, it can conduct through... It specifically states it can conduct through very souls.
So if there's a wizard casting healing magic on you from a distance... I've read... Well, in Gotrek and Felix,
yeah.
Wizards can, like, heal you from a distance.
Yeah, life magic is a thing, yeah.
But, like, they feel your soul when they do it. At least in the book they did. Mm-hmm. So I imagine, like, that guy could also be getting hit with it, right?
Theoretically, yeah.
In theory, that could...
It would just chain lightning to his ass.
Ah!
Yeah, get fucked.
Like, I can imagine just Ike Claw just like with his two evil orbs, like, suck it, Tesla! Basically, just an evil Tesla coil that he turns into a fucking
It's an evil Tesla coil! The green and evil. Now, we're going to the next weapon team here, and this one is a weapon team in quotes. So, this section is dedicated to the units that are attached to other Skaven units to serve as, like, you know, a supporting thing. Like I said, the clan rats will open up ranks and let them out. This one is very unique compared to the other ones because it's not a gun or something that shoots. This is called the Doom Flayer. A motorized iron ball of whirling blades designed to grind over the dwarves of the World's Edge Mountains.
What?
Originally jury-rigged from a salvaged gyrocopter and scrap, they have since become the staple of breaking shield walls and crushing through heavy infantry. A single Skaven rides the Doom Flayer, directing its whirling death in one direction. So...
They ride around in helicopters, they flip down their side and just move the rotor blades towards you?
Yep.
Well, I wasn't expecting to be right about that.
And they just graft a bunch of steel swords and shit...
Yeah.
And it's basically a big... It's basically a big wheel of death.
Yeah.
I was imagining a hamster ball.
They have a different hamster ball.
It's just like blades coming out of
it. Kind of is. It's like a ball. It's like a ball with like spikes and whirling blades going this way and like going horizontal, going vertical. And then there's also like other whirling blades on top that are just like little helicopter propellers. And it's a giant steel ball being pushed by these gears and wheels, and one guy is just on top cackling like a lunatic as he just crashes it into things.
So, I mean, it's got to be really fun.
Has to be really fun.
So there's a thing. I only vaguely know this story, so I might be getting some details quite wrong. When we started using planes to shoot at people rather than just drop things on them, one of the big problems that we had is that there's a big propeller on the front, and the bullets need to not shoot the propeller.
Yeah.
And it was a massive, like, mathematical issue to, like, time the bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you have to, like, essentially connect the machine gun to the propeller.
Yeah.
So it can only fire when the propeller's in certain positions.
Yeah.
And to my recollection of this story, this was essentially, like, a problem that without, like, everyone pouring all of their resources into it, trying to figure out the math of it. It simply isn't solvable without just, like, connecting them together. And having two rotors, like, specifically never hitting each other is pretty difficult. Because, you know, keeping them moving at the same rate is difficult unless you have both attached to one rotor, one motor, which would slow them both down significantly. And I'm imagining that these rats figure that out so fucking fast.
If it's to kill dwarves, you know it.
If it's to kill dwarves, they figured it out. And meanwhile, they don't realize that also you can use this to fly.
No, it's not.
They
about that.
See you using it to fly, and they're like, no, those blades should be chopping up dwarves.
Yes, that is a better use of this technology.
See, because you're forgetting, so they can stay awake for like 100 hours straight, you know?
Yeah.
Just fueled by warp stone.
Flying over the ground? No, we'll be doing our cocaine and skittering around under the ground.
So. The original Doom Flayer is a single Doom Flayer that you hide in the weapon team, and then, yeah, as you're getting ready to set up your charges, it pops out and charges instead and just fucking goes buck wild.
Weird.
That was the original intent of the Doom Flayer when it was first revealed in 7th edition. Now, Total War Warhammer took a lot of liberties when they made that game, and I think of those liberties, my favorite is the Doom Flayer because it turned them into effectively cavalry. They were in units of like 3 to 6, I think, and they just big wheel up the battlefield and just work as cavalry. They go in rank and flank and like harass units that are exposed. And that was such a lovely little design perk that in Age of Sigmar, when they re-release the Doomflayer, that is now their function. They are, the Skaven specifically do not have cavalry. That is like part of their army philosophy. Skaven do not ride beasts. They don't do that. They have one model that does, and it's one of the Claw Lords, and it's pointed out that like he does it to feel big and important. It's not because Skaven actually have cavalry. The Doomflayer is the Skaven cavalry, effectively, in the tabletop, and they are fucking devastating on a charge. They will crash through and slaughter entire units if you get a charge off with them. If they get charged, they kind of fucking suck. So that's the counter, is you just can't let them charge.
Right.
But on a charge, the Doomflayer is fucking terrifying in the tabletop right now. Very, very fun unit. And yeah, they're just big wheels of death. It's just a rat with a knife on this big wheel, just having a jolly good time. Probably one of my favorite units. Very fucking silly. So the next of the... This one is... I'm going to categorize it, and I put it between as the last weapon team, because it's technically not a weapon team. Mm. It's a weapon that is teamed, but it's not... It doesn't highlight... It
doesn't count as one of these other ones.
Yeah. It's not listed as though it's one of the weapon teams. And this is the Warplock Jezalicus, or known as the Warplock Jezail. So, first designed by humans in Araby, the Warplock Jezail is a long-barreled arquebus that requires two Skaven to fire. One to hold the gun itself because it is so long and massive, and the other to hold up a vise to steady and aim the weapon. Aided by glass lens scopes, the Warplock Jezail fires warpstone bullets across the vast distances.
You got a sniper team.
Mm-hmm. The bullets are capable of puncturing even the thickest armor, leaving behind a faint green trail as it travels. This exposes the team's location to the enemy, which is why the pavise is so essential. Unlike most weapon teams, the Jezail is often kept apart from the main force due to their cumbersome nature and extremely long range. Famously, the sniper Natty Bubo once killed a dwarven engineer looking through a telescope from over 7,000 paces away. This caused a veritable Congo line of dwarves to line up and look through the telescope, unable to accept that such a sniper existed.
That was clearly luck. I'll look this time. Ah! Well, sure, we all know that lightning never strikes twice is like a... That's not true. This was also luck. Ah!
Yeah, basically. And now we're going to talk about the Warp Lightning Cannon.
Yes, the actual laser gun.
The pinnacle of Skaven ingenuity, the Warp Lightning Cannon is a marvel of magical and scientific engineering. It fires a concentrated blast of pure warp lightning in a large beam. So powerful are its projectiles that not even a castle wall can hold on against its onslaught. So this one changed wildly between editions. When it first came out, it was an entirely different beast than it is now. The current warp lightning cannon is effectively a cannon. It shoots a bolt of lasers. But the laser's strength is variable.
Right.
It can either be extremely powerful or like a tickle. It's a coin, not a coin flip. It's a, you use the artillery dice. So it's strength.
It's like the shock attack gun?
Kind of. You roll the artillery dice, and so its strength is between 2, 4, 6, 8, or 10. And then on a misfire, you misfire.
Yeah.
But in 6th edition... The warp lightning cannon did not function or move like a cannon. It actually used the rules for a chariot. And it had Skaven pushing it around because you needed to position it, because the way it would fire is that it would just shoot a beam 8d6 in length, and then the strength would be the artillery dice, and everything caught in that beam got hit, friend or foe.
Oh my.
So you'd just shoot basically this Doom's laser, like through slicing through ranks of infantry.
And you cannot for sure say how long it's going to be.
No.
It could just be like the 8 feet.
Yeah, it could be 6 inches. It could be like...
Inches, I meant, sorry.
Yeah, it could be 48 inches.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So that was how that worked. It would move and function like a chariot. And then in 7th edition, they changed it to where it functions like a cannon and has like all the... It fires like a cannon, but instead of... doing the bounce and then cutting through the units that it bounces through, when it landed, it exploded into a blast template. So it made a big old like explosion laser.
Right.
And that's how it's more or less functioned ever since. The current one in Age of Sigmar, it doesn't actually use strength at all. It just does mortal wounds, which is just like raw damage. You roll a whole bunch of dice, And for each result of whatever, it does mortal wounds. And if you get ones, it can blow up, basically.
I mean, there's no way to armor against it, so that makes sense that it's just mortal wounds.
Yeah, it's just the horrible lightning hitting you, and then you're fucking dead. So warp lightning cannon, very scary stuff. Now, once again, an adorable option, the Doom Wheel.
Yes, the Doom Wheel is my favorite. The Doom Wheel is the design philosophy equivalent of, like, everyone looking around the room like, this would be funny, right?
Yeah. This would be great. Look at this go.
Look at him go.
Perhaps the most comedic of the war machines, the Doom Wheel was invented by Ickett Claw.
Of course it was.
Powered by two rat-covered treadmills, this in turn drive the massive wheel that houses them forward. A warlock engineer rides inside, directing the Doom Wheel and discharging the built-up electricity into warp lightning bolts that strike the nearest thing to the machine. The rats don't always build up enough energy, making the Doom Wheel's pacing to be inconsistent at best. When properly powered, the Doom Wheel can zoom past cavalry while blowing them apart with warp lightning bolts, or crashing headfirst into the enemy lines, scattering the foe like a chariot. On the tabletop, the Doom Wheel typically has randomized movement. In older editions, it would veer out of control after taking damage, moving in a random direction and crashing into where it hit friend or foe. In Age of Sigmar, the Doom Wheel has a fun mechanic where it can pass over enemy units and crush them.
And the Doom Wheel, by the way, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's a giant hamster wheel.
It's with a giant hamster claws wheel that they've just like welded a bunch of evil shit onto. And they have two guys that actually run around in it, and then one guy has a steering wheel.
It's rats. They have an entire horde of rats. Like, not Skaven, like literal rats are the ones running inside of it. Yeah, literal rats.
That's funnier.
Yeah, it is. So there's a warlock engineer, like, driving it, and there's one on the back, like, fiddling with, like, the laser bolts and stuff. So there's two warlock engineers, and then it's a conveyor belt of actual rats just running on it, on a treadmill, and that's what powers it.
Okay, now I have like a different image in my mind where they like wheel back to base and they're like, we're running low on fuel. And they bring out like a big fuel can and then they pour it. It's just full of rats. Yeah.
Cycling out the rats. That's awesome. Yeah, the Doom Wheel, very cute, very fun.
It's adorable.
The next war machine we're going to talk about, and this is the last war machine, is the Rattling Warp Blaster. So this is also from Age of Sigmar.
Invented by John Moses Rattling.
The Rattling Warp Blaster is composed of a series of rotary cannons mounted on a wooden frame and is powered by a ludicrously overcharged warp stone accelerator. Once wheeled into position, the warlock engineer flips a few levers before the barrel begins to revolve, spitting out a torrent of warp lead infused bullets. It is basically just a giant rattling gun.
It's a rattling gun that essentially doesn't have a trigger. It just has either it's on or it's off.
Yeah, and it just pumps out like, and it's a cannon. It's cannon size, so these are like 50 cal bullets.
Yeah.
So it's really deadly, really lethal.
A misfire on this one really fucks up your line.
Yeah. God bless. Please don't misfire. And now I'm going to talk about some other contraptions and gizmos that are famous.
Yeah.
We have, first off, the Brass Orb. What do you think the Brass Orb does?
I mean, just by my gut of, like, there are other things that are orbs contain poison, I'd say it contains poison.
That's a good guess.
There's also the concept of the Brass Bull that I'm thinking of.
It's definitely not going to bring joy to all the boys and gals.
No, I doubt it.
No. So, I don't know.
The Brass Ball, you say?
The Brass Orb.
Brass orb.
The Brass Orb is a handheld device consisting of a bunch of complex mechanisms inside of a metal ball. Once thrown, the device opens up a tear in reality, trapping any caught in the impact in the warp.
What?
This usually translates in the tabletop as a save or die mechanic, usually involving the target's initiative or movement stat.
They have a black hole grenade.
Yep.
Da-da-da.
It's super effective against orcs because they have low movement and low initiative. One of the most devastating things I ever did in Nick's army was throw a brass orb right into his black orcs and slaughter. Like, I think I killed 10 of them in one hit because they just couldn't move out of the way.
It's the bag of holding trick.
It is.
You know? Yeah, you just make a null reality. And the brass orb, conversely, when I was fighting the dark elves, didn't do dick because they're fucking graceful. They saw that shit coming and just got out of the way.
My goodness.
Yeah, so the Skaven have black hole bombs. Then don't worry about it.
This is why I didn't try to guess. I was just like, yeah. It's going to be more terrible than whatever I say.
Yeah. So. Another part of me was like, are they doing like a mobile brass bowl where they throw you in and then burn you up?
No.
No, it turns out.
That would be pretty rough.
And our next horrible contraption is the famous Doom Rocket.
Yes. This one makes more sense to me as a thing that they'd invent. This is a full-on Acme product.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. So, built from secret stone from the Far East, Warlocks constantly strive to improve the propulsion, steering, and payload of the Doom Rocket. This led to many variants of the Doom Rocket to exist, ranging from what is effectively a rocket-propelled grenade, to a mid- to long-range ordnance, to even actual warheads.
Yeah.
Ikitclaw famously built the Doom Rocket to try and blow up the moon, as we will discuss in a later episode.
Yeah. During the end times.
Oh, so it's kind of a catch-all.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's a rocket and it blows up, it's a Doom Rocket.
Mm-hmm. So one of the ways it translated into the tabletop, the oldest one I'm familiar with, is it's an equipment you'd give to a Warlock Engineer, and it was a once-per-game weapon, and then you'd roll, I want to say, like 4d6 or something, right. And it would just travel that distance and then blow up with a big old template. Yeah. So it's wildly inaccurate. Like most Skaven things, wildly inaccurate, probably not going to do what you want it to do.
You cannot count on it.
You cannot count on it, not at all. But when it goes off, it goes off. It really fucks them up when it hits them.
No one else is rocking missiles. Everyone.
Yeah.
The elves are still rocking catapults sometimes.
The pinnacle of their siege technology is the bolt thrower.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to the Death Globe. So, the thing you first guessed, the brass orb, is a more potent version of the poison wind globe. It releases great columns of ultra-deadly gas. There's a variant of poison wind globadiers who all use death globes in Total War Warhammer, and they call them death globadiers, and they're pretty fucking lethal. But yeah, the death globe is typically, it's something you'd buy in a Warlock Engineer, and it's just a mega version of the poison wind globe.
Right. Presumably that means that it's also extra effective even on them, so it has like a higher risk of failure even for them.
Yeah, if you roll one, you kill yourself, basically. Yeah. Now we're going to talk about Warlock Optics. So these war-enhanced seeing devices allow a Warlock to focus on the foe clearly, even those partially hidden in cover. It's basically like
X-ray goggles?
They have like the HUD display thing with like a targeting apparatus. They have that.
Like, the lizard man was the predator to them, but they have the predator eyes.
Yeah. Like, they really do. And this grants them additional ballistic skill and allows them to ignore cover when they fire.
And then, like, all the targeting things are, like, not Skaven.
And then we have warp-augmented weapons. Now, these are one of my favorites because they're just power weapons.
Right, this is a catch-all term.
This is a Warhammer 40k power weapon. It's a weapon attached to a warp generator, which causes lightning to crackle down the blade or head, amplifying the user's strength and armor penetration capabilities. It is just effectively a power weapon. It has a power field, but it's green and evil.
They're still talking about making better swords over there in Dwarf Kingdom.
With my Technoblade!
I just have to plug in my knife real fast and carve through the armor that your ancestor carved the godly runes into 10,000 years ago. And you're like, the armor does nothing!
Ah! Well, I was imagining it just like with your, it's like, those idiots, those dwarves, they worry about artistry as he's got his rusty ass knife.
Yeah.
Then he just clicks a button and starts carving through a stone door.
Yeah. More or less.
It's like a knife that he stole, like a butter knife. Rusty.
With like, power accumulator. Yeah. And now we're going to talk about warpstone armor. So warpstone armor radiates an evil aura.
Yeah.
When the bearer makes a successful armor save, the striker immediately suffers a hit in response. And Warlock Engineers can wear this armor without disrupting their spellcasting. So one of the big mechanics in Warhammer traditionally is that wizards cannot wear armor.
Right.
That is because part of being a wizard means you have to draw upon the winds of magic, specifically of the lore you're trying to use. And one of the lores is the lore of metal. So if you wear metal armor, you are attracting Chamon, the wind of metal, and therefore it's going to disrupt anything else you're trying to do.
Right.
So only gold wizards or metal wizards can wear armor typically with any sort of effect. The exception of this being sorcerers because they're using sorcery.
Right.
Like sorcery like is just
they evil don't need and, to deal with.
Yeah, the dark magic supersedes a lot of this. Ironically, and this is a stance I unironically rep, it is such like neckbeard tryhard bullshit. But the Dark Elf sorceresses, being scantily clad and wearing almost nothing, is more accurately making them stronger. Like, they have more exposure to the winds of magic that way, and therefore can draw upon more power. That is actually fucking canon. I always thought that was fucking hilarious, that, like, the sexy, like, heavy metal trope, like, elf maiden...
Tactically sexy,
is actually. Tactically sexy. Yeah, I love that shit.
Hey, no one made them dress like slots.
They chose.
They want to look like that.
They do. It's the best way to shoot fireballs and things.
Also, beauty is a weapon.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And the last...
You ever fought with a boner before?
Your most confusing emissary yet. And the last thing we're going to cover today is the Warp Energy Condenser. So these rune-inscribed power packs draw extra energy from the winds of magic. It typically affects the casting value of spells or magic missiles, particularly that of Warp Lightning.
They're fracking the Ethereum?
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
So typically you'll see Warlock Engineers in the lore with like a big old apparatus on their back.
Uh-huh.
Those are typically Warp Energy Condensers. And that's also typically how they fucking die. Because they'll generate too much energy in their condenser trying to get a particularly good Doom Bolt off. And yeah, they just fucking blow up.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have a device that is like, okay, so it absorbs energy from the atmosphere. And we use this to dampen our enemies and power our own stuff. Okay, do we have like a mathematical term for how much energy it can hold? No.
Yeah. As much as it needs to.
Will this one definitely hold as much as the next one over there? Who could say?
Yeah, then meanwhile...
No two are the same.
It claws in the corner. It's just like, get good, bitch.
Yeah.
Make an Iron Man suit like me.
Exactly. And with that, we're going to end tonight's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the nature of this content, go ahead and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can go ahead and give me a follow on Blue Sky, and you can support us on our Patreon. I'd also like to give a special thanks to our aspiring magus, Uncle Maddie, and a super thanks to our fellow scryers, Midnight Grimoire, Gary Gablino, The Greater Good Boy, Kino Majaro, and my mom.
Always love you guys.
Have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.